Lee Davey at calvinair.com here with Chad Holloway, World Series of Poker bracelet winner, poker media extraordinaire, and today player in the 25k PokerStars Players Championship. Now, I didn't see anywhere when they were giving them away. Hey, Gary. When they were giving them away, I didn't see your name anywhere. So, what gives? Where did you find 25K?
Yeah, no platinum pass for me, unfortunately. It's a funny story. I've spent the last 3 years working for the Mid-States Poker Tour. Mm. I've gotten to know quite a few players on that tour. And one night after a tournament, me and some friends went drinking in a hotel room with one of the players, and we got to talking about this tournament. And he said, "Are you going to play it?" And I said, "No, there's no way. It's 25K.
Yeah,
and he said, "Well, sell action." And I said, "I don't think I could even sell that much action." He's like, "Well, I'll buy a big chunk." And it was a big chunk. And I got my wheels turning. I said, if that's what I'm starting off, I should be able to sell the rest. So I sold enough where, you know, I put up some of my own money, some investors' money, and you know, where I'm comfortable firing my first and probably only 25K. So.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that, because that's quite interesting. You know, what's happened there is you've believed that you couldn't accomplish something. Someone's said, "Well, give it a go at least." You have, and it's worked out. So why couldn't you do it again?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I have a good showing, that would certainly help. You know, if you can show that you can at least hang in there and compete with the 25K fields, let alone a cash or maybe final table appearance, those things go a long way in future selling of action. But, I mean, I guess you're right. I never thought I'd be able to play a tournament like this, and here I am, so I guess anything's possible. Likewise, I never thought I'd win a World Series of Poker bracelet, and that happened too. So I guess if you set your mind to something and really try and really believe, anything's possible.
Well, I'm going to ask you a really difficult question on that then, because you didn't think you was going to win a World Series of Poker bracelet. You did. You didn't think you'd play in a 25K PokerStars No Limit Hold'em Championship. You are. What else in life are you not doing that you know you're not doing, that you could be doing, now you know you're doing this?
You know, one thing that is I need to do is I need to get my ass back in shape. I've always struggled with that ever since I was little. You know, I've lost a lot of weight, put a lot of weight back on, and I'm definitely not in the best shape of my life. I was, I think, probably in 2014, after I won the World Series of Bracelet, you know, I felt, okay, what's next? What can I do? Kind of like you were talking. And I realized that's the next step for me that would make me happy, and it worked. You know, I ended up losing like 60 pounds. But, alas, the poker world is the way it is, and, you know, up and down, and right now I'm back up, unfortunately.
When you say the poker world is the way it is, what do you mean?
Just that, you know, it's roller coaster with your emotions, especially if you're playing. You know, dealing with those swings, some players are better than others. I'm not particularly, you know, great at it. I definitely get upset, angry, tilt, you know, put a lot of pressure on myself in that regard. And, you know, for me, sometimes I deal with that, you know, with that comfort food.
Right. No, I totally get that. I always say that sometimes when I'm feeling down or something, I want to do something naughty, which is a lot more difficult for me, because I could being vegan, you know, what am I going to do? Go and eat an egg? but yeah, I can imagine that like food is something out there. So what do you think you could do to change that now you've got some momentum rolling with this 25K?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of finding balance, which I feel I'm finding that both playing poker and working in the industry. I think for a few years I might have been flirting with burnout, or maybe I was in the midst of burnout and just didn't realize it. But definitely finding a better balance, and I think just trying to continue that and maintain it in 2019 is going to be a big step.
You won the World Series of Poker bracelet. I'm pretty sure had I won the World Series of Poker bracelet and I love poker as much as you did, I definitely would have given it a go to be a pro. I still see that you're writing for so many different outlets, doing so much work. Why have you decided to remain semi-professional, what are you, Chad? Tell me, where does poker fit into your media work?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I learned a long time ago, having played once for a living and then you know, worked in this industry and watched, you know, people come and go, that for me the best recipe is to have a steady income working, whatever it might be, working in the poker industry or working outside of it, and then playing on the side and taking shots occasionally. I don't ever want to have to play poker strictly for a living again, you know, barring some multi-million dollar score. Maybe that'll change my perspective.
Yeah, the next couple of days.
Yeah, you know, I like the balance of having work and then playing on the side when the opportunities arise, like here at the PSPCs.
So, you know, that's a good point. If you did win a multi-million dollar score today. Are we saying that even though, you know, the swings of poker, you know, affect you in negative ways, if you had the money to back you, then the joy of playing the game would lead you there?
Yeah, I think so. I think if money wasn't a factor, you know, if I could just not worry, you know, I wouldn't be firing 100Ks, but if I could play $1,100 buy-ins, $1,500 buy-ins, or what have you comfortably and not have to worry about the swings of it, it's not going to eat that much into my bankroll, I'd probably do that for, you know, in perpetuity. But, you know, the fact of the matter is those are big chunks of change for any working person, and, you know, I'm certainly not there right now, and, you know, maybe one day, but well, it's going to take a big score before that happens, I think.
I haven't played a game of cards apart from Barcelona media event for over a year. When I did and I was playing regularly, one of the problems I had was playing for too much. Like, too much of my income was on the table every time, and that really resulted in really negative energy all the time, right? Is that what we're talking about here, Chad?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that applies to me as well. You know, my playing opportunities are few and far between because I am working so much, so to find a tournament schedule that actually fits in or the time to play a cash game is rare. So when I actually do, I find myself going a little more all out than I should, whether that's you know, playing a bigger package or putting more, too much of my bankroll up for grabs, you know, whether it be tournaments or cash games or what have you. But I've definitely been there. I've definitely lost more in Potlatch Omaha cash games than my bankroll can, you know, should be able to absorb. Obviously it absorbs it, but you know, it's not responsible bankroll management by any means.
So for anyone listening to this, and there will be a lot of people listening to this who want to try to become a professional or a semi-professional poker player, you talked a little bit about there about bankroll management and balancing that with your emotional state. We talked a little bit about having a second stream of income to support that as well. So, you know, again, releases the pressure if poker's not going well. What else would you advise to people wanting to give it a shot?
You know, one of the things is, if you're going to be a successful poker player, unless you live in one of the major poker areas like Las Vegas, Los Angeles, South Florida, maybe Atlantic City, you know, you're going to have to travel. And, you know, right now, the PSPC is a great example of that. Everybody in the poker world is pretty much here.
Yeah.
You know, just looking around, it's just incredible. And when you travel, there's a lot of overhead associated with that. And you got to take that into account when you're trying to play poker for a living. You know, factor that into what you're going to spend and what that's going to take out of your bankroll. At the same time, though, there's good ways to manage that overhead. A lot of poker players know, you know, different tricks as far as, you know, some of them get Airbnbs together, share taxis together. There's just little tips and tricks that I guess come with experience, if you will. But, you know, be aware that those sort of things exist, seek them out, look for them, and, you know, just try to keep that overhead down, because that's just more money you can put towards your poker playing career.
Again, you touched on something I think that was really important there. You said about people sharing hotel rooms, that kind of thing. Your 25K come out of a result of you having a drink with a load of buddies in a room and them having faith in you. How important is networking if you want to become a semi-professional professional poker player? And how best to go around becoming a good networker? Because you are.
Right. I think, you know, I feel my network is great in the poker media side of things. I think it's always been lacking as far as being a player is concerned. I've always had access to great things that most people don't, you know, from the media work. I know a lot of the players. I have access to a lot of the training sites at low to no cost, which is a great tool for me. But I'm finding now, as in the last year or two, that my game had kind of fallen off, that I needed to learn the new tips and tricks. And so I found working with other people is a lot more helpful. And the ways to do that now, especially, are online. You know, whether somebody has a text thread going, a Discord chat, a Slack channel, or what have you. Just, even if you're not an active participant, just reading what everybody is contributing has improved my game tremendously. But better than that, if you can get a core group of friends, you know, 3-4 people that you can talk about hands with, share information, and you know, come up with new theories and things like that, it's a great tool. And I think that's what, you know, we've seen in the poker world. The Germans have succeeded because of things like that.
You got the largest WhatsApp chat. I was going to say, you just have to pretend you're German and
right?
Speak into Chadders Hollowayers and just get on that chat line, you know. All right, so I'll end with you know, one on status then. So you are someone who has to go up to poker players at the table and say, hey, what's your name? Hey, can you give me a chip count? And you're on the periphery of the action, right? And now today you're going to be in the game. And you said that you're great at networking in the poker media, you've got to work on it a little bit more with the players. Where does status play a role? How do you feel being... having a foot in two camps, do you feel inferior? Are you okay with it? How does it go for you?
It's going to be interesting, especially in this tournament, and I've thought a lot about it, in that a lot of the players I'm going to play against know me as the media guy. They're going to know that I'm a little bit out of my element playing in a 25K. And so knowing that, I am assuming that they might put a little more pressure on me or attack me a little bit. There might be a player or two who is more sympathetic and give me, maybe they're not going to three bet me when they normally would. It's going to be hard to know. But at the same time, on the flip side, as you mentioned, I've been in this industry now for a while. I've had a front row seat to these high rollers for many years, watching their hands play out, documenting them, and sharing them with the world. So I don't want to say that I know their game inside and out by any means, but I'm familiar with it. I've seen them pull lots of tricks, and I feel like I've gotten playing experience with them without having to actually put up money until today.
No, yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, I always used to envy people like Remco and Frank. You know, they would go and they'd watch a hand, and they would talk it back to me about like, oh, he did this and that. But I'm subconsciously not even thinking about that. But I would still leave a tournament and do really well. It's almost like my subconscious is picking up everything and I'm learning from it all the time. So you feel comfortable around poker players? You don't feel like an imposter?
You know, thanks, you too. There's times that I definitely feel like, kind of in this limbo. Where am I a player? I'm a media person. And, for me, I was a player first and a writer second.
Right.
And maybe that will always be the case. But as far as do I feel that I belong, I guess I'm always trying to at least prove that I do with the limited opportunities that I get. I think that's good in a lot of ways, that it keeps me hungry, studying, and trying to compete and not get complacent.
Finally, how does it feel to play in this 25K event?
It's pretty surreal, you know. It's a lot of lead up to it for a couple months. I had known I was going to, but now that I'm actually here, feeling the atmosphere, it's electric down here. I don't know who's going to be at my table. You know, it hasn't started quite yet, but it's definitely pretty exciting. It's probably going to be, the only 25K I ever play, unless I have, some massive success here or in a future tournament. But, I'm trying not to take it for granted, trying to absorb the entire experience, and just going to try to play my best game. As long as I leave it all out at the table, I'm going to, I think I'll be happy with the whole thing.
Well, good luck, Chad. Wish you all the best, and well done for getting a seat. Take care.